Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. I ask you to visit our sponsors and supporters. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Cherie Hogue.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Very good. So we're going to go right to Cherie, and thank you for coming and joining us.
And tell us about your expertise.
Well, thank you. Here again, my name is Cherie Hogue, and I am very passionate about Medicare, and it is that time of year that you would want to do a review, and I do a no-charge review, so you definitely need to look at your drug plans this year. All drug companies have possibly tripled in their cost for their premiums, but then the cost of the drugs have gone up. The percentage that you pay has gone up. So at the beginning of the year, every senior that is on any tier three or above drugs will have a huge cost for January and February, because the government came in and said the most deductible that a company is allowed to charge is $650. So most drug companies are doing $615. They're saying we're not charging the most, which would have been allowed $650. But they did say for 2026, the most a person will have to pay for their drugs is $2,100.
Now, are they getting rid of that donut hole?
That is what got rid of the donut hole. So now it is $2,100. But then what the drug companies had to do was increase the cost of their drugs. So on tier three, four, and five drugs, you will now not, the companies are not capping them at a certain cost.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. I've heard in the news a lot about Trump driving down the bright prices with Big Pharma and TrumpRx.com, and yet you're telling us that they've raised the prices. What can you explain how that happened?
So the drug companies themselves have raised the cost, but discount programs are now starting to be in place through pharmaceuticals. So it's like the cost of the drug itself is higher, but then the discounts are available. And they did lower to that $2,100.
What was it before?
When the donut hole was in effect, it was $8,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
My question is on the tiers. It's very difficult to find out what tier your drug is on prior to trying to fill it and then being told at the pharmacy, oh, you're not covered. How do we find out the tier that drugs are on?
The best resource is Medicare.gov. You can look up any drug on that, and it will tell you what formulary it falls into.
Okay.
That's what I would recommend.
And yeah, you have to look up, I guess, by category or by generic name, by brand name?
Well, yes, because every generics are tier one and two, and then if it's brand name, it's three and above.
There was something recently in the last week about weight loss drugs that insurance has not covered and was not willing to cover. So do you know anything about that? Because there were a lot of people that were prescribed it that have diabetes, et cetera, that needed the weight loss. And I would think an insurance company would think it's cheaper to make you well than make you well after you're sick.
Here again, the drug companies establish the tiers. So once those tiers are established, and those are usually done this time of year, but drug companies can change those tiers or those formularies anytime throughout the year.
Well, according to the ads for the shot, the fat shot, mm-hmm. You could pay as low as zero for if you have insurance that covers it, and if not, they would charge you $4.99 per month, $499. But that was one of the things Trump did. You can buy it for $350 at TrumpRx.com.
Well, we'll have to check TrumpRx.com.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I know when they say that you can get it as low as zero, sometimes it's because you possibly could have Medicaid with that. Mm-hmm. So then Medicaid's going to be like a secondary. So that's what they do with all the plans when they advertise them on TV. It tells you you can get, you know, all these food plans and all these extra things. Most of those are because you may have to have Medicaid with those.
Right. And there, a lot of those are Advantage plans, and would you talk to us about the differences between Advantage plans and regular?
Yes, ma'am. So Advantage plan, those are per county, and so you have to make sure that you see the network of doctors per company. Whichever plan you would pick, you'd have to make sure they're in network. And a supplement, that you do not have a network of doctors. You just have to see a doctor that takes Medicare. So most doctors take Medicare. There's very few that don't. So that's the main difference, is a network of doctors, network of hospitals, where a supplement, there is no network. That's the main difference.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I'm working with the VA that transitioning some of my drugs from the Medicare program over to the VA to supplemental. And yes, may have to do a little bit more work, but hopefully I'll be able to save a little bit of money there.
Yeah, and there's plans out there. If you use your group insurance, TRICARE, VA administration, state plans, if you use those solely for your drugs, then you could get rebates. And but here again, those are Advantage plans.
And, you know, it's interesting, I've going like to Harris Teeter Pharmacy or whatever else, there are times that they will have some of these discount cards right there that, mm-hmm. you know, they're not going to charge you.
Good Rx.
Good Rx. They're not going to charge you. What's it called in a hotel room? The board prices, I think, is what it's called. So if you damage the room, and it takes you 3 or 4 days for them to fix that room back up, the cost to you would be the board prices, not what you actually paid. So in drugs, it's similar. There's a board price or the full
standard,
list price.
A preferred price,
yeah.
Yes.
Now, the renewal date or the change date, you have to have everything in by December 8th?
7th.
7th, okay.
So December 7th. That is for your drug plan only. So if you're on an Advantage plan already, to get that to start on January 1st, you have to have it done by December 7th. But then you have another enrollment if you're already on an Advantage plan from January 1st to March 31st. Supplements, you don't need to make sure you have done by December 7th. It's mainly the standalone drug plans that you have to have done by December 7th. That's the only time you can change a standalone drug plan, is from October 15th to December 7th.
Now, did they work very hard to make this confusing, or was it just accidental?
Very hard they worked it.
Well, I get about 15 calls a day from Olivia and Rebecca and Paige, all trying to sell me stuff.
And you
from
can't,
Medicare.
You can't get them to get your name off their list.
Nope.
I've tried that. Of course, I get exactly what you're talking about. And I said, well, look, I don't need this. My Medicare's fine the way it is. Please take my name off the list. 5 minutes later, somebody else called.
And I block the number every single time, and they call again.
Yeah.
And my caller ID will actually have somebody's name. And then
they spoof it.
Yeah. It's crazy.
You've probably blocked all of your friends.
Now, probably.
The December 7th deadline is for the drug plans.
Yes.
Let's say you retire in June. At the point you retire, you can sign up for...
Yes. When you retire, that's another election period, because that's when you can pick your plan. It would be the first time that you're going on Medicare. So you have the first time you're going on Medicare, and then you have every year thereafter from October 15th to December 7th.
So that's the time. Any changes you're going to make, that's the best time?
Yes.
That is the time to make
on
them.
The standalone drug plans, yes.
Well, some of the things that are difficult is Medicare A and B is the same across the board, but the companies all charge different for it. So discerning... last year when I looked at it, it was easy to discern because they had given star ratings to the companies. I didn't see the star ratings in the Medicare and you this year.
On the supplement side?
On the A and B side, where they were comparing United Healthcare to Aetna Healthcare to whatever.
If they were not in the book, but they should have been on Medicare.gov.
Okay, because it was like customer satisfaction and all that.
So some of those reports may not have been out when they printed that, but it should be on the website now.
Now, in theory, who is required to have health care now?
Well, Medicare, you have to have that when you turn 65 or when you retire.
You're eligible
have
for
at least Part A.
At least Part A when you turn 65.
Right. You should get Part B, because if you don't, and then later you change your mind, you're going to be paying more.
Unless you're still covered under your credible employee insurance, you do not have to get B.
Right. Okay.
But some employees now are requiring you to get B because cost effectively, it's better for you to be on B for them as a company. So they may require.
Yeah, and Part B is what you pay for.
Yes,
Part A is free.
Yes. Part B, there is a premium associated to that.
There is no free lunch.
Somebody's going to pay. Somebody tell New York.
Well, I think there is free lunch. It just doesn't happen to apply to legal residents. Well,
this is interesting, this conversation, because it is very complex. I find it that way, you know. And I'm fortunate in one way. I have a retired state employee. The state, retired state employee health plan pays for the advantage section. So I get Medicare. So that's worked out real well. But Trump was coming out the other day talking about this Obamacare, and I guess he's talking about Medicaid. But what he's saying, he wants to divert the payments to the individual instead of going to the insurance company, and then the individual can select the insurance that they want. One of the things that always troubled me was that if you go and sign up for life insurance, the rate you pay is a function of your age. Healthcare is not like that.
Age and health.
And risk factors.
What I'm saying, healthcare is not like that. You pay the same amount regardless of your age, even though in reality, as you get older, you use it a lot more. I mean, compared to when you're in your 20s, you're using it less, but you're paying the same premium. At least that was the case with the state employees. You had to pay the same,
Alan,
regardless of
that's the young people subsidizing the older people.
Well, that's what I'm objecting to. I don't think that's right.
But I think everybody's goes up, increments up, even under Social Security plan. Your cost goes up that you bear every
But what I'm saying is you're utilizing it at a much higher rate as you're getting older.
Right.
And you should pay for what you're utilizing, not have some young person paying for something they're not using. I don't agree with that.
We're not having babies. Why should I pay maternity care?
Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Mary, where are you going to take us?
I just want to mention that because I have no understanding of how any of this works, we went to see Cherie, and she saved us serious money on our health insurance per month, and it pays to talk to somebody who knows what they're doing, because we don't.
Now, I want to say, will save serious money. However, also given the advice, squirrel that money away. Save the money. Don't blow it on something else.
No.
Because what you're doing is you're changing. You're changing. Are you paying it up front? Or are you going to save the money for something later
Yes, for emergencies.
Correct. So the best thing to do is make an appointment, come into the office, and I can sit down across the table with you, with your doctors, with your medications, and find out what your life situations are, because everybody's needs are different. When you walk in, sometimes you have an idea of what you want to do, especially when you're first turning 65 or just retiring. So just give me the opportunity. It does not matter to me if you do an advantage or if you do a supplement or if you do a standalone. I just want to educate you on the differences and help you make the choice that suits your lifestyle, because everybody's lifestyle is different. Everybody's needs are different. So here again, for the standalone drug plans, even if you've had those for years, because the premiums have increased and the cost of the drugs are changing, I highly recommend that you do a drug review. And you can do that on Medicare.gov. It's a very simple website to use, or you can make an appointment at the office to do that. And I'm on Glen Burnie, 2129 South Glen Burnie.
And your phone number?
Yeah.
252-544-3734.
Want to repeat that again?
252-544-3734.
What's the name of your office?
Armor Insurance.
Ah.
And you share it with a...
I share it with Affordable Hearing, because obviously my prime time of work is October 15th to December 7th. And I do mainly Medicare, so there's no need for me to have this big elaborate office. I have a room in a building. And until last year was the first time I even did that. My favorite way to do it, which I'm maybe considering to do it again next year, is coming to your home, sitting across your table, pulling out your drugs. People, you know, because sometimes when they come to the office, they may not bring everything with them. My favorite way is just to come into your home, sit down across the table with you, and do a review. And I don't charge anything for that review. And here again, I do not care which way you go, an advantage plan or a supplement. You know, it's a very personal decision. I'm getting ready to turn 65 this year. One day I'm going to do a supplement. The next day I'm doing an advantage plan. I really cannot decide. I probably will make my decision probably the month before. I don't know.
But it's going to be whatever year it is going to be before December 7th.
That's right. Well, my birthday's in March, so I have to make my decision by February, because it will start the first day of my birthday month. And then if it's not the right decision, or if I want to change, I know I can do it again October 15th to December 7th the next year.
If you go with an advantage plan, is it true that you can't go back to traditional supplements?
If you pick an advantage plan, the first time you pick an advantage plan, you have 1 year to go back to your traditional supplement with no medical underwriting. There is one particular company that you can go, they allow you to go back and forth. Blue Cross is the company. If you go an advantage plan and you do not like it, they'll let you do a supplement anytime, 1 year, 2 year, without any medical underwriting. That's one of their promises. So any other companies, you would have to have a medical underwriting.
What does that mean?
That means they're going to look at your medical history. So when you hear these commercials, once you pick an advantage plan, you can never go back. That is partially true. All companies only give you that 1 year, except for Blue Cross. They let you go back and forth. But then again, the premium is going to be based on your age.
What is it they're looking for in your medical history?
There's usually three different things. If all of a sudden you get cancer, they're going to say, no, we don't want you. Because you think a supplement, they pay all the costs, so they don't want to take on that risk. Cancer, COPD, heart conditions.
Certain drugs.
So they're going to look at your drug list and see what you take, and they're going to determine if they want to take on that risk to take you back.
Now, just personal opinion off the record, whatever else, I don't know. Do you think the medical community is going to turn upside down over the next few years and things will change, or you think this is the way it will continue?
Well, I mean, you hear so many things that some doctors are saying they don't want to take Advantage plans, but then you also, I ran into a doctor yesterday, they limit the days that they take their Medicare patients. So it's like, no matter what, once you, if you're on Medicare, if you're on an Advantage plan, you're kind of getting discriminated again, how you can and when you see a doctor.
It's because we're old.
Yeah. And how they're getting paid for both. Because even on a Medicare plan, they are told how much they can get paid.
So, but don't they have to see like a certain number of patients also on some of these plans? They're required to see so many patients per day or whatever, and that must be difficult to manage.
Especially like I'm seeing within the Advantage plans, there's dental built in. I'm seeing a lot of dentists and eye doctors just saying we don't even want to bother with insurance anymore. So they're not billing any insurance. So I mean, just my personal opinion, some of the Advantage plans or all of them have pretty much dental and vision. That's probably going to be something that may not be as strong anymore, may not be as important. Because if I give you $2,000 in dental, but you have no dentist that's going to take it, that's not going to be a selling point for you. So, I mean,
who would give up, for example, vision insurance? When I go to get new glasses, they tell me they're $900, but with your insurance, they're $365. Who would give that up?
Right. Well, some eye doctors are going to say, we're not going to bill any insurance. It's too...
Yeah, so they'd charge you the $900.
Right.
And you'd be, oh, well, okay.
Yeah, you have...
Because I don't want to get insurance and go to somebody that takes it.
Right.
That blows my mind.
The only thing I see changing is because, like, doctors are controlled by Medicare cost and, like you said, rules, where dentists and eye doctors don't have as much stipulations. So I think that... I mean, but that's just what I'm seeing. They're changing less vision and less dental on the Advantage.
As soon as the government gets involved in something, it gets complicated, expensive, and miserable.
And you can see the lack of competition in some of these areas. Like you mentioned glasses. You go now, you pay hundreds of dollars for, probably the average is maybe $400, $450 for a pair of glasses at prescription. You go into Walmart, you can buy a 62-inch TV for $300, $300 or $400, because the competition, there's no reason these glasses should cost what it costs to buy a 62-inch television. I mean, the technology, it just hasn't advanced itself because there hasn't been competition for these items.
You silly boy.
It's ridiculous.
They made the TV that big for people like you who couldn't see without the glasses.
And maybe they were right, but still, but they're selling it at a good price.
By the way, I also want to add that today, November 19th, by the way, folks, it's my birthday.
But happy birthday to you.
But I also want to say, today, there is a case going before the Supreme Court here in North Carolina concerning certificate of need with Dr. Jay Singleton, who happens to be one of our supporters and sponsors, about the con laws, about where do they stand? Because they're very restrictive of your ability to do normal business, and that's totally against the Constitution of North Carolina.
And getting rid of the con laws will help with health insurance because it will cut medical expenses.
Tell us what the con laws are, what con means.
Certificate of need.
Because not everybody knows that.
And it limits the number of operating rooms in an area, which prevents competition, creates a monopoly. And what happens, and I'll give you for instance, if you go into a hospital for cataract surgery, they will call in an anesthesiologist to stand there and watch you. They're not giving you any anesthesia. And you will pay for the upkeep of that room and all the overhead that goes with the hospital. If you go into, in a cataract surgery in a hospital might cost you maybe $10,000, $12,000, $15,000. You go into a surgical center where, and I haven't seen one in North Carolina, but we had one in Massachusetts that was strictly eye surgery, and went in there for cataract surgery, went in at 9:30 in the morning, was out, including my juice and crackers, by 11:30. There was parking. You could get to it. It wasn't in Boston. And the difference would be between, say, $12,000 and $2,000 or $3,000. The insurance company is going to pick that up. If enough people have access to reasonably priced cataract surgery, your insurance rates, we hope, are going to go down. So you're going to cut the medical expense, which is going to cut their justification for the high rates. And that's what the con laws will open up. And you may not, I mean, we may not have enough people in this area, to say, to support a surgical center. But if you consider all of the area of Wilmington, New Bern, and Greenville and all that whole area, you'd probably have enough people to support one.
And it goes beyond operating rooms, right? It's the how many pieces of a certain type of equipment can be in an area.
Yes.
Like imaging equipment, they decide some of those things. It's beyond just the operating
room. Yeah.
Now, what about the doctors that do, eye doctors that do cataract surgery in their office?
Right now, they're not allowed to do the certain procedures within their office. They're restricted to doing, because of the con laws, they're restricted to
doing. Now, I swear I took my roommate to Jacksonville and sat in the eye doctor's office while she had her cataract fixed.
Well, again, we're in New Bern. I'm not sure who owns the cons in Jacksonville.
Yeah, that would depend on how many hospital beds and cataract rooms and that whole thing.
The cataract certificates are owned by the hospital here, not by the individual doctors. They buy them up.
So she might have gone to Jacksonville because she couldn't go to New Bern.
Well, she's on Medicaid and Medicare and welfare, and that's where they sent her.
And she got it done. Okay.
She got it done.
She got it done.
For free.
Hey, folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Thank you for listening to sponsors and supporters. Again, we ask you to go out and visit them. Pat, you wanted to take us in a different direction.
Yes, I have two topics. The first one is the Fannie Gate update.
Okay.
Yay. Fannie lost her appeal at the Georgia Supreme Court to be returned to the RICO case that she had filed against Trump and 17 others. And so it was sent to the Georgia State Prosecution Commission. And that the head of the commission had to find a DA in the state that was willing to take the case. And as I predicted, no DA was dumb enough to take that case. So he assigned it to himself. And he said he's going to...
So you're saying he's dumb?
Yeah. he says he's going to go through all the documents himself through his lens and decide whether or not this case should proceed. So he's made himself the final arbiter.
Now, what is your prediction?
He's going to dismiss it.
Now, quick question. Does Fannie owe any of the money back that she abused with her?
No.
No?
No. The county paid for it.
The county paid for it.
How will this impact on some of it? Was Giuliani and some of those other people, weren't they defendants in that RICO case?
No, not in Georgia.
Not, okay.
Not in Georgia.
Now,
it's hard to keep up with all
this. I know
it is. Does Fannie have any court costs in this?
In the RICO case? No, she's out of it. Besides that, the defendants pay court costs.
So she's not responsible for anything. She walks away scot-free with everything that she did with paying her boyfriend and traveling and all that other stuff.
Yes, other than the feds that are investigating her, because that's still going on.
And that might not be happy.
That might not be happy.
And okay. She still is the district attorney.
Oh, yeah.
From there.
She got reelected in the middle of this.
Right. So she's still the district attorney. She just can't touch the RICO case. And you know what they say, if you're going to kill the king, don't miss.
Yes.
She missed. Oops. So the second topic is this video that six Democrats put out, and other Democrats have been quoted as encouraging this too. Because somebody wrote an article saying that military people are lawyering up what's going on here. And there's a video where these six Democrats are urging military people to refuse illegal orders. And they're not only talking about the droning of the drug boats, but also the National Guard, for example, that goes to the cities to help ICE. This is encouraging military people to participate in a coup against their commander-in-chief. It's against the UCMJ.
What's a UCMJ?
The
Uniform Code of Military Justice.
Okay.
Yep. And when everybody goes through basic training, we learn about the Uniform Code. We learn about illegal orders. And I remember quite distinctly when they said, now, you're allowed to refuse to obey an illegal order. And I said to my little self, well, you better be right that it's illegal. And how would I know that? Because I'm just little old me, and I'm not a lawyer. And
yet.
And you look at the language in the UCMJ, and it's got exceptions, it's got definitions, and it's got language that, unless you're used to reading legal language, you just better comply with the order and let somebody above your pay grade decide whether or not. Because, you know, remember Abu Ghraib?
Mm-hmm.
That was a violation of UCMJ.
So isn't this inciting treason?
Sedition, yeah.
So... surely these Democrats have an attorney amongst them. Who's advising them on the legality of this? Because I would think that they could be targeted individually for retaliation by the justice system.
The rules don't apply to Democrats.
But I would say, I would also say right now the Democrats are suggesting that you do this.
Yes,
they're
that's
not,
what I was going to say.
They're not doing
They're not at
themselves.
Risk. They're telling other people to do
and,
it.
And,
right.
And by the way, Uniform Code of Military Justice, Section 133 is the catch-all. It says if we ain't got you on something else, we got you here. That's what 133 is.
There's another interesting aspect about this. One of the people involved in this is Senator Mark Kelly, a former astronaut. I'm expecting to see his name come up as we get into the 2028 elections as a candidate. This may be his way of making a name for himself. I frankly think there ought to be consequences for what they're doing, but I also
Well,
agree.
That's up to us. That's up to the voting public. Consequences would be to reject his candidacy.
Well, shouldn't there be legal consequences for this? This
for looks, making a suggestion?
This they may you've got to watch the video.
Well, inciting sedition.
Yeah.
It's treason to me.
Yeah.
Here again, I'm naive. I'm treason. Trying to be logical.
The crime of treason is in the Constitution. It's very narrow. And it says how many witnesses you have to have.
What about sedition?
Caesar.
What about sedition? How narrow is sedition?
I haven't looked at the statute for sedition, but I imagine it has more wiggle room. It covers more behavior.
Well, in your opinion, should there be consequences for this?
Political or legal?
Both.
Well, to me, this is all hypothetical. No one's done anything to know if it was how you would apply any of the laws. They're saying go do this, but there hasn't been a case that, and even if there is a case, the people that's promoting this in Congress, they're off scot-free.
But there is a situation that was in the recent past where a military gentleman went against command and went on Facebook and put a post in about the leaving Benghazi, and he got raked through the coals and court-martialed and everything.
It was Afghanistan,
else.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he was a military person.
But isn't these Congress people talking to military people, telling them not to obey the laws?
Yeah, but as far as consequences for the senators, they're not military people. They're not subject to the UCMJ.
So they tell you to break the law and you're in trouble.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Right. And it walks a fine line because we can prosecute you for making threats. You haven't done anything, but you've made a threat. Right. And so your defense is, I didn't do anything. I didn't carry it out. I really didn't mean it. I haven't done an overt act to prove that I'm trying to carry out my threat. And so you could say, well, talking like this is analogous to that, to making a threat. But let's face it, they're Congress people, and it's a political issue, and it's not going to be touched by the courts.
And by the way, and we came down from Plainville, Massachusetts, was the town we were in for a number of years, and there was a young girl convicted of...
Was it manslaughter?
Manslaughter because she was convicted as if she had convinced her boyfriend to commit suicide when apparently all that she said, he said something about doing it. She says, well, go ahead and do it. And she hung up the phone and she was convicted of that manslaughter.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yes. It's Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Yeah.
You know, another interesting, somewhat related thing going on, Pat, I'm sure you're aware of this effort that was being made by the senators to add something to the extension of the bill. You know, about allowing the senators who were targeted and had their phones tapped by the
it went in.
Yeah, when it was in, but the House is trying to reject that.
Yeah,
the House has come out and said that they would. So but basically what it was is that this, I think, was seven senators, Republican senators.
Right, the Arctic that Frost.
Arctic Frost, whatever. And then they wanted to be able to sue, which they can't do now without this new provision. You can't sue the federal government for that action. And they wanted to get a financial reward for it. And, of course, the controversy was that happened within the House was that the people who would wind up paying the penalty were actually the taxpayers.
Right.
Not the government agents that actually tapped their phones, perhaps legally, perhaps illegally. They wouldn't get punished, but the rest of the taxpayers. And that's, I think, where the rub was from the...
Well, it went through. It went through.
But they're already working on another law.
Yeah, they're working on another bill. So that provision, it entitled them to $500,000 each, and it already went through. So they're going to have to address that other way.
The House, I believe, voted last night to reverse that, to block that.
But it's part of the law right now.
Yeah, they've got to pass the bill.
They're trying to undo it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, they are.
So there's a fight going on between...
Right. I just wanted to add that as a young enlisted troop... what I remember from my military service, and Bob, you may feel the same way, we didn't talk about politics. We didn't pay any attention to what was going on out in the real world.
Not in the slightest.
No, because the military is its own its own enclosed organization.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
You know, everything that you do, everything you wear, everything you eat, everything you do for a living is all military. All the people that you associate with are all military. And we were too busy trading dirty jokes to worry about what was going on in D.C.
And, you know, even if you, as we were married and living off base or whatever else, no, we didn't get involved in politics. No.
No. So it's not like the military, the enlisted people as a whole, because officers wouldn't consider it, I'm sure, but the enlisted people are going, that, you know, that are actually droning those boats are thinking, let me consider my legal options here. And I don't believe the report that military people are lawyering up. I don't believe that. I mean, I don't think a young enlisted person would even know how to go find a lawyer.
I think more of a problem than that for getting military people to disobey direct orders. The bigger problem, in my opinion, is all these judges that are going around and stopping Trump from sending the troops to various cities, and now they're stopping the ICE agents from going in. And, you know, the citizens in these cities are actually benefiting from the additional security and so on. And then you get these judges come in, they keep stopping. They find a judge that stops it, and they have to appeal it.
The judge in Chicago that's ordering ICE to release 600 detainees.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he said, he got real mad because somebody called them illegal aliens, and the judge is black. Well, he used to call us slaves. We don't call people illegal aliens. And somebody said, well, that's the legal term. Well, I don't care. Yeah,
folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, E70 Pawn will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than E70 Pawn. Of course, E70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. E70 Pawn, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Mary, you're going to take us somewhere else.
I'm just going to add one closing comment to what we were just talking about. These senators and former intelligence people, many of whom were in office during Obama and Biden, didn't say boo when illegal surveillance was done on Americans, didn't say boo when President Obama said he had a pen and a phone, he could do what he wanted to, and didn't say boo when President Biden ignored the Supreme Court ruling on student loans. So I really think their concern for the Constitution is a little bit much right now.
And hypocrites.
To your point, neither did a whole bunch of these local judges.
That's true.
Say anything.
Nor did the same people have anything to say about the Epstein files that they had for
all
4 years.
Yeah.
That now is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to mention two things. One, the ballroom, and two, the Epstein files. Number one, the ballroom. Some of the Democrats, like Jamie Raskin, Swalwell says, if we get a Democrat president, they should immediately tear down the ballroom.
That is so petty.
It's stupid. Jamie Raskins and others say, make sure it's not called the Trump ballroom. And in fact, don't ever have a state dinner in it. Make sure you use it for something else. Also petty.
Yes. But there's also a move to put a limit on how much people can donate to it, which is totally ridiculous.
Oh, well, he's already got $300 million, and he says it's going to cost less than that. So.
And it's going to be finished on time.
Of course. Trump finishes his on time. But, you know, this is the Epstein files, what we're hearing today about the Transparency Act. I noticed that a couple of Democrats had a press conference where they had these victims lined up behind them, all holding a picture of themselves as at whatever age mm-hmm. they had been recruited. And so the victims were all silently pleading for the files to be released because we want to know who the names are. And my question is, don't you know who the names are? Shouldn't we be asking you? Not whether or not Epstein ever emailed anybody about, you know, whoever abused you. So I don't get that. And I was listening to a podcast coming over here, and they were saying it doesn't matter how much Epstein files they release. If it doesn't have anything in it about Trump, they're just going to accuse him of not releasing the part that has Trump in it. And so we're never going to get over the Epstein files. And I, for one, am sick of hearing about them. The statute of limitations has passed. There is no sane person thinking that somebody in there is going to be prosecuted. Now, Trump asked the DOJ to investigate Clinton, Larry Summers, some of the others. So the DOJ can say we're not releasing certain files because they're investigative files for potential prosecutions of these people. And so once again, Trump will be blamed because it's his DOJ. So
this is like the hamster on the exercise wheel.
It's so ridiculous because, you know, like many people have pointed out, the Democrats had those files for 4 years and no interest in them. And all of a sudden, it's all we're hearing. I'm sick of hearing it.
Well, don't you think it's just an effort to divert attention away from the successes that Trump is having? He's doing so many wonderful things for this country. And then they bring up, again, some false. It doesn't matter what's it's false or true. It's just a diversion. It gets people taught like we just did, but not intentionally. But it gets people just diverting into another area that's meaningless. It has no impact on the country.
No, it doesn't. And I agree with you. It is a deflection, a distraction. Look, squirrel.
Yeah.
You're talking about me again.
No, you're rabbit.
Okay.
Rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm. All right, Alan, your turn.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up something that I think is becoming of more interest to people. And I think part of it is prompted by the election in New York City of this socialist Muslim, Mamdani. I think it's kind of brought to people's attention what we're potentially facing. There's a couple things have happened recently. I understand that, I think it was yesterday, they had a Dearborn, Michigan council meeting. And there was some person who was not a Muslim who stood up and he ranted and raved about how they have lost Dearborn, Michigan to the Islamic group that now actually represents the majority of people in Dearborn, Michigan.
Even though many are illegals, apparently, yeah, or overstayed.
Yeah, illegals or family people were brought in because somebody's illegal, they could bring in their relatives. And you know, people are beginning to understand that, you know, we can lose our country this way, piece by piece. There's another situation down in Texas. Governor Abbott came out and declared the council on American-Islamic relations, which has been functioning in this country, supposedly doing positive things. He declared them as a terrorist organization because of their affiliation with Hamas,
yeah,
these Islamic terrorist groups. And on top of that, Ron DeSantis, I heard it on the radio yesterday, but he was talking about the whole problem of how many immigrants can any country take into their population and still maintain their integrity? And I just finished writing an article, a series of articles on this topic. So if anybody out there gets the County Compass and wants to read them, there'll be a series of articles. But it's very clear that we cannot, as a country, maintain what we've had for 250 years. We have our 250th anniversary coming up next year, and we're in the process letting all these people in. They don't want to be Americans. They're not coming here
assimilate
and be like Americans. They're coming to maintain their own culture, their own identity. They're walking around these hijabs and all this other stuff, and this is something that people are becoming concerned about. And I was so glad to hear someone of Governor DeSantis' stature coming out and making a point of this.
There used to be a law that I believe it was repealed sometime in the 90s that said that you couldn't be a Muslim and serve in Congress. And there's been some call for people to reinstate that law. It's a two-name law. I can't remember what it was, but it used to, you had to be an American, not Muslim, and serve in Congress. I wish I could remember what the name was, but when you look at some of those places and look at who their governing forces are, that's where you're losing the culture. But on the same vein, a little bit different, connected to ICE and the illegals, yesterday on the news, all over the place on the news, was about Charlotte and the ICE raids
and that there was 20% of the public school kids.
121,000 students didn't go to school.
Plus businesses being closed. So first of all, I think we should be going after the employers who are employing these illegals. Secondly, someone needs to wake up and look at what the cost of educating and feeding and supporting these illegals is costing to us, along with the losing of our culture. We need to be assimilating people legally. And it's funny because there was a legal immigrant on Facebook who I was following who was talking about her family coming here legally and how many years it took and how much money it costs and how resentful they are.
Yes, because they did it the right way and the other people coming in illegally. But even with illegal immigration, in the 1920s, the Republican Congress and the Republican president signed a law that strictly that limited the number of people coming into this country. Legal or illegal wasn't even considered. Legally, they put quotas on different countries. In 1965, Ted Kennedy and the liberal Democrats, when Lyndon Johnson was president, they reversed that. And they basically opened it up that any country can send people and we can't restrict or pick and choose. That is a serious thing that needs to be reversed. We need to go back to quotas, in my opinion.
Well, part of the problem, too, is we need to do something to streamline our immigration system with quotas, bringing in people who share the same civilization values that we share, because it is ridiculously expensive and time-consuming to get in here. Okay, fine. So let's go back to quotas. Let's reduce the time. Let's give ourselves enough time to do background checks and things like that and, you know, cover the cost of bringing someone in and making sure that they will support themselves rather than be...
Mary, those laws are on the books. We just don't enforce them.
But the process to get here seems to be very lengthy and very expensive.
Yes, it
that
does.
That I would like to change.
Legally.
Well, they have to have time to learn English.
Well, that would be nice.
Well, that's a requirement for legal immigration.
I didn't know that.
Yes, they have to learn English. So you can't streamline it to the point where they don't have time to learn English.
And that law is not necessarily being enforced. We ran into a situation in Massachusetts where we were interacting with a community in Springfield that was a Russian Jewish community that had a lot of scientists, physicists, doctors, et cetera, in it, who were all working factory jobs because they hadn't mastered the language.
But I doubt that they were applying for citizenship. They were here on a visa.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So let's say, I mean, we've even seen people that came on a visa understanding Russian and given a Spanish lawyer to help in the process.
Well, you know, people that complain about ICE racial profiling, if you see a Spanish person and they don't speak any English, chances are they're illegal.
You know, look at languages. Look at the, what is it, 17,000 CDL drivers in California?
That don't speak English?
That don't speak English?
That's a safety hazard.
But what Scott Bessent? Who's the Department of Transportation?
That's him.
No, that's not
Duffy.
No,
it's Duffy.
Sean Duffy.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, he wiped out those 17,000. And he said, they're illegal now. And some right. judge said, no, they're not.
So you always
yeah,
get a
and that's
judge
our
to
problem.
Reverse
that's our problem. We have judges that think they rule the country.
But I just want to make one more comment. Those of you folks that are listening to this program who believe that we need to restrict immigration to people who believe in our values and our traditions and want to become Americans, should contact your representatives, let them know, because they're the only ones that can take action to change this.
Before we leave, we need to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Okay. Well, we have more than a minute to go, so you better keep talking.
How about the information about our lady
Medicare
guest
lady.
Here?
Okay,
you wanted
so
to give her name
yes.
and
so we did have Sherry.
Sherry.
Sherry Hogue, and she's representing Armor
Insurance. Talking about what to do with Medicare as the deadline approaches.
That the deadline is December 7th. That you have to decide what to do as far as Medicare Advantage goes or Medicare Part B or whatever else. Her phone number, 252-544-3734. Again, 252-544-3734. So
it's a good idea to talk to someone who understands it because it's written in gobbledygook and most of us don't understand gobbledygook.
Yeah, I don't speak gobbledygook. Okay.
So again, we're wishing you a happy Thanksgiving and enjoy your time. This is CCT8 Wake Up Call.